Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is overtime. 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until Capitals hockey tonight. Puck drop at 8:30. Pregame beginning at 8:15. I'm with you right here on The Fan until then. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. I do want to get into a Commanders topic at 7 o'clock. I want to get your guys' thoughts on about last night. How much was it more encouraging the first half or discouraging the second half? Was the first half more encouraging than the second half was discouraging? We'll talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock. Also want to take a quick look ahead to what we're going to see against the Seahawks with Washington taking them on in Sunday Night Football and if Jaden's going to play or not. Sound like from Dan Quinn that he thinks that he's going to be a part of the plan and hoping that he can suit up. I think it's going to be a wait-and-see approach a little bit with them throughout the week of practice, but I think they're pretty optimistic. It feels like they're going to get him back this week. But a good night of DC sports. You've got the Wizards coming up, about to tip off against the number 3 overall pick in the draft, Vijay Edgecombe. Should be a good matchup for a couple of rookies, Trey Johnson, Vijay Edgecombe, two of the top dudes in the draft. Should be a good matchup there. They're tipping off in about a half hour at Capital One Arena. Should be a good game. And then tonight, the Capitals in action as well. So hopefully get a pair of wins and feel better about what happened last night. And that's where we're going to start, with Washington last night with the loss, which, you know, it's kind of an interesting spot where I think a lot of people going into that game had low expectations because of the fact that Jaden wasn't playing, because of how the Chiefs had been playing. So I don't know that people today are frustrated like they usually would be after a loss. I think it was kind of expected. It was one of those where you went in there and not many people were expecting this to be a close game, and it ultimately was not a close game, 3-touchdown difference. But I think the first half kind of showed you what the team can be, and then the second half was a little bit more of what we'd seen defensively. The offense really struggled with Mariota at the helm, and they just weren't able to get things going. I think you saw a little bit of the difference between what Marcus Mariota can give you and what Jaden Daniels can give you. Jaden Daniels, to me, is just so special in what he's able to do. And in those areas where it starts to get a little bit tighter, those windows are tighter, everything needs to be on time, you need to be accurate with your ball placement, that's where Jaden excels. And so Marcus was able to move the football, in the first half at least, and get into Kansas City territory, but he wasn't able to work in those fine areas once you get across the 50. Once you have to throw it into those tighter windows, and it's not as, okay, see the guy open, let it go. You got to anticipate a little bit. Jaden, he struggled with that earlier in the year. I actually think the way that some people have described his play this year, I think they're a little bit wrong. I think over the last couple of weeks when he's been in the lineup, has he been fully back to the Jaden we saw last year? Maybe not, but I actually think he's been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. Last week against Dallas, without having the top receivers, he was okay. But I think he's actually been fine since those first 2 weeks. But, you know, it's tough to get any sort of rhythm when you're in and out of the lineup with these injuries that he's dealing with. But you find Washington now at a spot where, according to multiple publications, including NFL.com, The Athletic, their playoff chances are down to 8%. And it's interesting because going into this year, it felt playoff or bust. It felt that way. It felt like in order for this team to kind of build off the momentum that they had last season, they needed to at least get into the playoffs and see what could happen. I'm not saying they had to win, you know, 13, 14 games to improve off the 12 they won last year. But if they were to win 10 games and get into the playoffs, or even if they won 10 games and maybe just slightly missed it, I think you'd feel better about where you're at, and you feel like you're progressing and not taking a massive step back versus where this team is at right now. 3-5, everything's still in front of them. I'm not giving up on the team just yet, but this upcoming game against Seattle kind of is do or die time. You go to 3-6, especially with the way that you started the year with the NFC opponents, you're looking at a wild card spot then, and you're looking at a chance where you could get to 10-7, and that might not be good enough. And if that's the case, and you already have 6 losses, you'd have to run the table. And I don't see that happening, where you could have a hiccup or two. It's just the way the NFL works. Have a lapse of judgment one week, and all of a sudden, you lose to somebody you shouldn't, and that can be the difference in your season. And that was some of the frustration for me with some of the games earlier this year, specifically with the Bears game. You just can't let that kind of a game slip away. You know, how different is the conversation today if instead of 3-5, you're 4-4? I think it's a lot different. I think a lot of stuff is still ahead of you because you're talking 4-4, getting Terry and Debo back and getting Jaden back. And that's where you can't lose those sorts of football games, but they did. And now they're in a situation where there's an 8% chance they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think you can write them off. I don't think you can fully put a fork in it yet and say it's done. But it's right there. And I know a lot of people are going to jump to that, and I don't really even blame them for jumping to that because they're probably just a week or two earlier than I'll be there. You know, if they lose to Seattle or they lose to Detroit, I mean, you've got to play almost flawless football against a really, really tough gauntlet of a schedule. And it's not to say that it can't be done, but it's going to be incredibly difficult. And to me, the big thing is you've got to get Jaden back against Seattle. If you have Jaden and you have Terry and you have Debo back and you're kind of at full strength. Now, we do have to have a discussion about Debo, and maybe we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes, because Debo did not looked like Debo yesterday. He looks like he's still banged up with that heel injury because he's not very explosive. There were a couple chances he had to make some guys miss one-on-one or even at least run through them, and it kind of just felt like he was lumbering a little bit and there wasn't any chance that he was breaking the tackle or making the guy miss. So I think there is a discussion to be had there about Debo and what he's given you at this point. Terry sounds like he's going to be okay. He feels like he's going to be okay. Left the game, I think, more so because of the fact that the score was what it was, but might have slightly re-injured his quad that had forced him to miss 4 games. I'm wondering if that's just more of a, yeah, I'm really sore and I could feel it a little bit, but just being extra precautionary because of the way that things were going, but we'll see. I would expect that he's going to be good to go on Sunday Night Football. But if you get all those guys back, and you're healthy and good to go, I mean, you've got a chance against anybody. So if you want to write the season off, I don't blame you. I'm not going to do it just yet, but I might be with you pretty soon. But anytime you've got Jaden, I feel like you've got a chance. And so the key for me, if Jaden is back against Seattle, and I'm not rushing him back, if he's not ready to go against Seattle, then it's one of those seasons. Maybe you just have to cut your losses and live with the fact that it didn't go the way you wanted it to. But if Jaden's back and he's able to stay healthy, which has been a bit of an issue this season, and it's not anything I'm overly worried about long term. It's, you know, we're not talking things that are massive season ending type injuries, things that are requiring surgery, things that are requiring long extended absences. We're talking about, you know, a tweaked knee, weird kind of play. Honestly, looked a little RG3-like in terms of getting flipped a little bit. I think that's where he initially hurt it and then had the play later in the game where it must have tweaked it a little bit. And then the hamstring, those sorts of things. You know, soft tissue, you don't ever want to see those things. You don't want to see those sorts of injuries to your guy. But I'm not overly worried about him. But if you have him back under center, I think you got a chance against anybody. So I'll take my chances there. But I understand people that are already throwing in the towel and saying this season is over. And we're going to get all our answers that we need on Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. Because if you lose that one, you probably can put a fork in it because you're probably not going flawless the rest of the way to get to 11-6, which is probably the record you'd need to get in. Although you do have four divisional games to finish. I've laid that out plenty of times. It's not over yet, but the chances are very, very slim, and the numbers say 8% chance Washington can make the playoffs. I mentioned Deebo Samuel. I want to have a discussion about him. We'll talk about him next. What do you make of what he had yesterday? And he doesn't look quite right. Do you think that it's something that's going to continue to linger? And is it, how do you get Deebo back to being the guy that you saw earlier in the season? 800-636-1067. Also want to talk about, was that first half of the game yesterday more encouraging than the second half was discouraging? We'll talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. It's overtime on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 8:15. We'll turn it over to Capitals hockey then. Down in Dallas, taking on the Stars tonight. Keeping an eye on the Wiz, getting underway in about 10 minutes as well. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I want to talk about Deebo Samuel, because Deebo, he just didn't look quite like himself yesterday. He didn't look like the guy that was so dynamic early in the season. And if you just look at what he's done the last couple of weeks, it just hasn't been there. Since he's had this heel injury, he just hasn't looked like the same guy. So he obviously missed the prior week in the Cowboys game. But just listen to these game logs since the Chicago game. In Chicago, 4 receptions, 15 yards, a carry for minus one. So that's 14 total yards. Yesterday, 3 receptions for 11 yards and 1 carry for a yard, so 12 yards. So over the last 2 games, he's gone for 26 total yards. You need more out of him. But I don't know if it's him, or I don't know if he's banged up. Like, I think you look at the way that he was moving yesterday, he just didn't look right. And obviously you had the big mistake that was an interception that went right off his face mask. You've got to make that play. But there were a couple of times that he got the ball in typical Deebo scenarios where he was in an opportunity, in a spot to with some space to make something happen, and he just wasn't able to do anything. And seeing it week after week after what we saw to begin the year, I mean, first week of the season, 7 receptions for 77 yards. Against Green Bay, 7 for 44. 3 for 18 on the ground against Vegas, only 2 through 11 through the air. But then Atlanta, 6 for 72. LA, 8 for 96. Like, he was a big portion of their offense. He was their best weapon for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. There's no question about it. But he doesn't look like that same guy right now.
I think defenses are scheming for him now more, though. I think that's part of it, you know. There are definitely plays, I think, the Chiefs were waiting for him to get the ball, and they were like, they're ready to pounce.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And they're watching the film. They're looking at when they like to go to him. So
yeah, I mean, there's no question that defenses are now keying on what they've seen. But I don't think that's something where he's suddenly getting held to fewer than 20 yards over the last couple of weeks. I think you've got to still find ways to put him in spots that he can be successful. And I think you saw a couple of those yesterday where he's able to make one guy miss and then maybe he has some room, but he wasn't able to. And it just didn't look like he was comfortable doing so. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know exactly what this heel injury is, but it feels like it's really limiting him. Obviously, he missed the previous week. He didn't look right when he was on the field before, and now he doesn't look right again. I'm curious how long this is going to last because, thankfully, you've got Terry McLaurin back. But I really don't know that you've seen this offense be able to build any sort of chemistry. And at this point, you're 8 games in. Because of the fact that there's 17 games, there's no true halfway mark in terms of games, but you're, for all intents and purposes, halfway through your season. And you think about the trio that you were going to depend on to be the guys that ran this offense, that took this team to the promised land. Jaden Daniels is number one. Terry McLaurin was number two. Deebo Samuel was number three. That's what you were going to work on. That was your trio of guys that you were going to work through. And think about the amount of time on task that those guys have had together. Terry was late to training camp, so you had Deebo and Jaden work together, so they built a chemistry up, but you didn't have Deebo and Terry working together a lot. Then they finally are on the field together, and then Terry and Jaden get hurt. Terry's finally back last night. Jaden's been in and out of the lineup. So essentially, you've had no time for those three to work together, not just on the football field, but in practice. You've only had those three together for 2 games this season. The first 2 games of the year, you went 1-1, and you didn't look very good at all in Green Bay. So they just haven't had a lot of time together, and I think it shows up. I think it shows that they just, last night, even on the screen that Deebo had hit off of his face mask and get picked off, if you go back and watch that play, Terry's supposed to do some sort of motion from inside in a bunch to go outside to set up the screen, and Terry wasn't ready. They had to keep telling him, hey, motion, 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 motion. And they're looking at Terry like, hey, go, go, motion, motion. And he didn't pick up on it right away. So there's a rust factor, and that's a problem because this defense isn't going to be good enough. Even though you saw in the first half yesterday that there is still something there, they can at least get something out of the defensive side of the ball. The offense was going to be the driving force for this team, and they just haven't been healthy. And when they've been on the field together, they haven't been as efficient or as good. And look, I mean, was it natural that maybe they take a little bit of a step back? Sure, but at the same point, you've got to find a way to make some of these things work, and you're in a spot now where it's do or die time. You don't have much of an option. You've got to be clicking on all cylinders going against a really good Seattle defense on Sunday night, and their offense has been rolling. They've got a pair of running backs. They're not super efficient in the ground game, so I think you could hopefully find a way to slow down their ground game because you just look at the yards per carry and what you get with Charbonnet and with Walker, and it's not great. But I am scared what Jackson Smith and Jigba, what Cooper Kupp is going to be able to do through the air with Sam Darnold throwing him the football. I think it could be a high-scoring affair for Seattle's offense. Washington's offense has got to find some sort of rhythm, and I don't know. I think it's still there. I've seen it. I saw it earlier this year, but I got to see it again, and that's the tough part. I don't know. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I want to talk about yesterday's game. It was a tale of two halves, but I'm curious, was the first half yesterday more encouraging than the second half was discouraging? 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I'll give you my answer next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Overtime on The Fan, taking you up until 8:15, so a little over an hour left of overtime here. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. So I want to ask this topic and this question. Was the first half yesterday more encouraging than the second half was discouraging? And the reason I ask this is what I saw in that first half yesterday was something that I feel like I hadn't seen from this team maybe all year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, versus the second half was more of the same, which is discouraging when you look at the way that the defense has played and the offense was pretty abysmal in the second half. So my answer to this would actually be that the first half was incredibly encouraging and gave me hope that maybe there still is a potential run in this team. Now, again, potential, it's not a great chance. Like we talked about earlier, 8% chance they make the playoffs. With a win, I believe Nikki Jobvala tweeted out that with a win, they could go up to a 15% chance, according to all the numbers and everything, a 15% chance that they could make the playoffs. So still not great, but at least going well in the right direction, almost doubling your chances. But to me, seeing what they did in the first half yesterday, defensively, they showed some fight. They showed speed in the way that they were moving around. They showed an ability to play some coverage, to turn the ball over, to do some things that I hadn't seen them do basically all season. And so as annoying as the second half was, it's kind of what I expected. And I was on the pregame show with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. Linnell asked me, what do I expect out of the defense? Do I expect better tackling? Do I expect better coverage? Do I expect a pass rush? And my answer to him was simple. No, because if I expect that stuff and they haven't showed me that they can do any of that stuff, then I'm an idiot. I'm the guy who's at fault. It's not them. If I'm expecting something that I've never seen a team do, then I'm the foolish one. Now, they showed me something in the second or first half yesterday that showed me that maybe they can do some of this stuff. Maybe they can be a solid defense. Maybe some of the differences that we saw from Dan Quinn and from Joe Witt Jr. for the defensive side of the ball, getting Jordan McGee on the field, trying some different things, maybe seeing that stuff actually is going to work. Maybe you're actually going to see this team be able to change some things up that work. But I look back at that, and I feel like if they can bring some more of that, whatever it was, whatever the key was for them to have a little bit of a different approach defensively, whatever it was, I need them to be able to continue that on. I need them to be able to continue to get those guys playing at the level they did in the first half yesterday. Whatever it was, the changes that they made, and some of the things, I understand they're not going to be able to overcome some of the shortcomings with some of the injuries at edge rusher and some of the personnel things. But you saw Marshon Lattimore make a play yesterday that he hasn't made in quite some time. Probably the best play he's made since he's been in burgundy and gold. It was impressive to see. I mean, Mahomes didn't throw a good ball in a back shoulder fade, but I don't recall a time, it's not often, that a DB on a bad thrown ball a little too inside on a back shoulder fade. I've seen him bat it away. I don't see a lot of picks on that. So it was impressive to see him intercept that pass. They made mistakes on the offense and they capitalized. Kelce bats the ball up into the air right off his face mask and Bobby Wagner comes down with it. They were able to mostly contain the run game. Patrick Mahomes is going to do his thing. And you saw a lot of this in the second half where he's just going to have time against zone coverage, and he's going to buy all the time that he needs to find somebody open because you're no longer able to cover these dudes because it just takes so long. One of the big differences for me, first half to second half, was first half, you could see them flying around, getting to the football. You saw it a couple of times where they'd throw the ball into the flat right at the line of scrimmage or just behind or just in front of the line of scrimmage. And here comes Jeremy Reeves. I thought he was really, really impressive in that first half. But here come a bunch of guys swarming into the football, getting these guys down, making contact with these guys and slowing them down within a yard or two. In the second half, I mean, none more obvious than the Travis Kelce play, they would throw it behind the line of scrimmage or short, and they'd pick up 6, 7, 8 yards before they were even touched, much less actually tackled. The Travis Kelce play ended up going for 30-plus, and he wasn't touched until he was almost under the end zone. So to me, I saw something in that first half that I hadn't seen in a while, where this defense was able to fly around and play aggressive and be able to make some plays, and when opportunities were there, they took advantage of them. Offense, I can't say as much, because they had plenty of opportunities. Yesterday, they had the ball in KC territory 4 times, where they finished with no points, whether it was a turnover, whether it was a turnover on downs. You know, those sorts of things can't happen against a good football team in KC, especially the couple of turnovers that they had and the mistake by Jalen Lane. Like, those sorts of mistakes can't happen. You make those mistakes against any team. You make those mistakes against the New York Jets, you might lose the football game because everybody's paid to be a professional athlete. Everybody's paid to be a professional football player. So you can't have those sorts of mistakes against anybody, but you do that against a team like Kansas City, you definitely are going to pay for it. But I thought defensively, they actually showed me something that made me think, okay, maybe there's still more in there than we've seen. Maybe there's a chance that they can get this thing turned around and we can see some positive impact from the defensive side of the football. And if that's the case, while the second half wasn't great, while it was almost a snooze fest from the Washington perspective in the second half, you did feel better, in my opinion, that they at least showed you something they hadn't showed you all year, even though it was only a half. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to Chris in Brandywine. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I wanted to reach out to you because I think at this point in time, none of the commanders are probably listening to the line. I could just talk football with you, right?
Yeah.
I think that, honestly, I'm still definitely majorly disappointed in what's going on because I feel like the coaches are letting the players in putting them in a bad position. I think that they aren't. They did enough in the first half to limit the Chiefs, and then they just tried to stick with the same plan into the second half and didn't make adjustments. Even though you know that on the opposite side they are definitely making adjustments, so they should have been making adjustments as well, and they missed that opportunity. I'm also this whole year with Cliff has been rough. I think that there are some obvious things that should be happening, like Bill should not be the starting running back. I think it should be what's the other guy?
Jeremy McNichols.
McNichols has earned the position to be at least starting and letting and going the opposite of Bill. Bill hasn't. You know, he didn't even do a full year in college last year, and we're putting a lot on his plate. I think that McCaffrey is taking a step, and he should be rewarded and given the ball more. And they just seem to like disappear in gaps of the time. Like, why are we putting the ball in the hand of Lane more than we're putting it in McCaffrey when McCaffrey is shown to look like he's been doing better? I don't understand it. I literally don't understand it.
Hey, Chris, appreciate the phone call. So one thing that's interesting there, and I would like to parse that out a little bit. I think Cliff's offense, people had this discussion all offseason during the Terry holdout about how much he was needed, how important he was to the offense. And there's an allure to an offense that isn't reliant on its star players to be able to make things happen. I think there's also a thing to be said for if you've got good players, build the offense so that they get the football a lot. Right? I mean, it's a little bit different because for the most part, the team was operating at its peak in terms of it had everybody back last night, aside from obviously Jaden Daniels. But look at Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. I know you watched that game Thursday night, Joe Flacco stepping in. What did Joe Flacco do? He said, I'm not an idiot. I've got Ja'Marr Chase. Let me throw him the football as many times as possible. And it can be the same route over and over and over and over and over again. I'll throw this 6 yard out and let Ja'Marr Chase make something happen after the catch. I'll throw this slant. I'll throw that 25 times in the game and I don't care. Because you can't stop him. And I'm not going to be stupid enough to think that I have to do anything else. Do you almost feel like the way that the offense has been constructed, which I do like a lot of what they're doing, I know some fans have been frustrated. I don't quite get that frustration as much. I understand, you know, down to down, there are some things you disagree with. But overall, I've actually liked what Cliff has done this season. I like the way that he has called the offense for the most part, with the exception of a couple of short yardage plays. But you almost wonder if at times you need to just say, well, screw it, get the ball to 17. Screw it, give the ball to Debo. And get these guys to football, because that's your featured guys. I would question exactly what they're trying to do with Kroski Merritt right now, and I agree that Jeremy McNichols has played so well that I think he actually should be, I don't know if I would go the starting back, but he needs to get more touches. He's electric whenever he touches the football in the passing game. You know, how many times have we seen this year, at least three or four, where Jeremy McNichols sneaks out on a third and long scenario and he's able to break a tackle or make somebody miss and pick up a first down in a spot where he had no business picking it up. He did the same thing last year whenever he had opportunities, which were kind of slim, but I thought he was really, really impressive last year. I do think that they need to use him a little bit more. I think they've got to change up a little bit with what they're trying to do with Bill. I think you got to try to get him on the edge, running the football. Be curious to look at his numbers. I know it was this way early in the season, but his numbers running outside the tackles versus inside was ridiculous. Like the difference in yards per carry inside versus outside is insane. And it's still that way. Looking at the numbers right now, he has 50 carries inside the tackles for 151 yards. That's 3 per pop. Outside the tackles, 32 for 251. That's 7.8 yards per carry. They've got to find ways. Some of this is bouncing runs. I get that. So some of it is you run something up the middle, but he bounces it outside, and it's technically outside the tackles. But I think you've got to design stuff to get him going outside more. And it feels like a lot of what they're trying to do is running him, not necessarily up the A-gap, but they're running him in between those tackles. And I like his vision. I think you see some of the patience and vision that he has. But I think where he's going to be at his best is when you're trying to get him on the edge a little bit, not necessarily always running him outside and running tosses and pitches and stuff like that, but running stuff that gets him the ability to then bounce something or have some patience and allow that vision. I think he'd fit perfectly in a one-cut, wide zone scheme type of run. I think he'd be great at that. I think that's what he's really, really good at, is that burst, being able to jump cut. I like what he shows, but you haven't seen a lot the last couple of weeks. I think it's something where if you can find a better scheme maybe that fits what he's trying to do. And I also think Doc mentioned this last night. I don't know that I've necessarily seen it, but I would obviously trust his eyes more than mine. He said he feels like he's running a little bit tentative after a couple of fumbles, just being a little bit careful versus trying to let that thing go a little bit. So we'll see if that's the case. 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. We're talking about yesterday's game. How encouraging was the first half yesterday? And is more encouraging than what you saw in the second half that looked a little more like the same and was probably a little bit disappointing, if we're being honest, and what you saw in that second half where they just got thoroughly dominated by KC, even if it's what we expected. How did you feel about yesterday's loss? 800-636-1067. It's Toby Altizer with Overtime on The Fan. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for just about another hour. Then we'll turn it over to Capitals hockey tonight down in Dallas. Taking on the Stars, no Stromer, no Rasmus Sandin for the Capitals. Looking to get back on track after a bad loss at home over the weekend. Hoping they can take some of the frustration and get things rolling as they take on the Stars tonight. Taking you up until 8:15. 800-636-1067. We're talking about yesterday's loss. I was encouraged by what I saw in the first half yesterday. The defense showed me something I hadn't seen all year long, and I almost look at that as, while the second half was bad, I'm almost more encouraged by the fact that they showed me something I hadn't seen yet. And it showed me that something is possible there, that you can still salvage something. What do you guys think, though? Is it more discouraging what you saw in the second half, or more encouraging that you saw something in the first half that they were able to stick with Kansas City? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Dwayne in Bowie. Dwayne, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, man.
2 points. I'm going to let you mull over that. The first thing is, do you think the two fumbles that Bill had is kind of in his head a little bit? Like he's not going to be running the way he was running fearlessly the previous games. What do you think about that? That's the first point. The second point is, and I got to go back to this. Do you think that not playing a lot in preseason has something to do with all these injuries? Because what prevents you from playing your starters at least a full-blown quarter the last game of the preseason? Get them in a game mode. And I know you probably know this. When you play a game trying not to get hurt, that's when you get hurt. You know what I mean? So in preseason, play them. Play them a full quarter. You mean two quarter. Just have fun. It's preseason. It doesn't count. You know? Anyway, that's my point.
Appreciate it, Dwayne. So we'll start with his first thing about Bill and the fumbles. I can't say definitively that it is affecting him, but it is something that Doc brought up on the postgame show last night, and obviously he's got a better trained eye than I do in these sorts of things. So I'll believe Doc when he says that he thinks that he is running a little bit tentative, a little bit different in the way that he's playing because of the fact that he had those fumbles. So I'll trust his judgment on that. I can't necessarily say that I've seen that. I think they do need to change up a little bit with what they're doing. But Doc says so. So I'll believe that maybe there is something in there, that he's running a little bit tentative and it's just not quite the same guy. And maybe once he's able to settle down a little bit, work through some of the things, maybe you get back to seeing what he was before. To his point about playing in preseason and some of that stuff, it's so tough because am I able to prove definitively that Terry wouldn't have gotten hurt if he would have been at camp and he wouldn't have had the soft tissue thing with the quad? No. Do we see this all the time, though, where a guy holds out or holds in or whatever you want to call it, but they're not fully participating in training camp, and then all of a sudden they have a soft tissue injury? Yes, we see that all the time. Am I saying that Debo doesn't have his injury? Are we saying that Dorrance Armstrong or Dietrich Wise or... I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. There was one team yesterday that was coming in that takes everything as hard as possible in training camp. Old school, goes away, hitting all the time, doing as much within the modern rules, updated rules, to be able to put contact, go in full in training camp. And that was the Kansas City Chiefs. And you look at what they were missing yesterday. For the most part, it was two guys, one of which was a personal reason, their offensive tackle Josh Simmons, and their offensive guard Trey Smith was the other. That was an injury-related reason. So really, they had one guy missing for an injury yesterday, from what I recall. I don't know if you can say definitively that playing in the preseason and taking camp a little harder would make sure that Washington is more along those lines. But at the same time, I do question when the team isn't playing well, when you see early in the season how out of sync the defense was, how the offense, it felt like they were there, but they were just a little bit off. That to me is where you notice it. That to me is where, when everybody gets a veteran rest day on a Wednesday leading up to a game, are you able to figure out some of these kinks in the chemistry? If you're going through and you're year four together, you're year five together, even year three together, where you've worked together, you've put the reps in, you've got over 25, 30, 40 games together as a unit, and the core guys all kind of understand each other, Not to say that they don't need live reps, but they need live reps a lot less than guys who are still learning each other. That's not how this team is right now. Because you know, we've seen the LA Rams team, the way that they conduct their preseason and training camp, and they don't do anything. And they're always contenders in the NFC. You saw some changes for the Bengals this year, and I would have been curious to see how it played out, aside from, you know, Burrow getting hurt, kind of changed how you were able to see, but they continually got off to bad starts year after year after year, and they changed some things up in terms of the way that they went about things. They're playing, remember, Joe Burrow was playing in the preseason against Washington, and he's getting thrown around. You're like, doggone, get him out of the game. But they wanted to leave him out there because they wanted to get off to a better start, and I felt like they did get off to a better start. But Joe Burrow goes down, and so do you look at that and say, well, that's from playing in the preseason? I don't know. That's the tough part about it. It's all speculation. There's no way that you can directly break it down. I can tell you this, though. I would make some changes to the way that they went about training camp this year. I would try to get younger on the roster if I'm Adam Peters, because it can't be something that a couple of guys go down. This is football, after all. It can't be something that a couple of guys go down and all of a sudden your season is toast. Because if that's how you want to operate, then you're in the wrong business. Guys get hurt all the time in the NFL. It's a physical sport. It's unfortunate when it happens. There are certain guys that you can't overcome injuries. I get that. Like, if the Chiefs were to go down and lose Patrick Mahomes for the rest of the year, they're not winning the Super Bowl. They might be able to win some games, but they're not winning the Super Bowl. I get that. And this team hasn't had Jaden for a number of games this season. But I actually think Mariota stepped in and played well as a backup. But you can't tell me that the guys that they're losing, compared to teams around the league and what they have lost and are still winning ball games, are even comparable. I think Austin Ekeler is a huge contributor for this ball club. Is Austin Ekeler anything close to some of the guys that have been lost around the league that are still winning? Look at San Francisco. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, those guys are gone for the year. Those would be two of the best players, if not the two best players, aside from Jaden Daniels on this football team. Right? You still got to find a way to win. And so going with an older roster, this is part of what happens. Last year, they weren't injured. And I hate throwing the word luck around. I don't love that word in terms of how last season went, so I'm not going to use it. But things went more their way than not last year in terms of injuries, some of the different things. Like, I don't think it's luck when you win 12 games and you get to the NFC Championship game. I think they were playing incredibly well. I think that's something that sometimes we struggle quantifying, is another team might be more talented, but the less talented team might just be playing better and they have a better chemistry together. And I think in terms of what this team had last year, everything that they had was kind of clicking on all cylinders until you get to the NFC Championship game and obviously got boat raced by the Philadelphia Eagles in that game. But I don't know. That's the tough part. I don't think that there's a definitive way that you can look at it and say that if they change their training camp ways, that they'd be totally different. But having seen what happened this year, if you don't make some changes to some of your approach, then you can't be frustrated if you get the same sort of results next year. You've got to get out ahead of this. That's part of what's frustrating for me about yesterday, too, is to see that they were able to do some stuff positively in the first half defensively. Well, where the heck were these changes 2 and 3 and 4 weeks ago? It took you this long to figure it out? Dan Quinn going back and saying that he was looking at the calls to figure out where some guys were hesitant and making sure they didn't call those plays then because you need to be playing fast. Making some personnel changes. And I get they were forced to because Dorrance Armstrong got hurt, but making some personnel changes and doing some different things that were effective for a half of football against a really good offense. Well, where the heck was this stuff before? What took you so long? Is it because you had an extra day for Monday Night Football? That better not be the reason. You get paid for a reason. You got to figure this stuff out. You got to figure out why this stuff isn't working. 800-636-1067. We're talking about yesterday's loss in Kansas City. Playoff chances down to 8%. With a win against Seattle, they'd almost double to 15%. There's still a chance that this team could get on a run, but not likely at this point. How do you feel after yesterday's loss? 800-636-1067. We'll get to more of your phone calls next. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 8:15. Then we'll turn it over to Capitals hockey. Wizards up after 140-32 over the Sixers. A lot of defense being played at Cap One tonight. Good to see that we're getting up and down the floor. Hey, that's Wizards basketball for you. They're going to score some points. They're going to give up some points. But encouraging stuff from the rookie and what you've seen from Trey Johnson. I don't know, have his numbers for tonight, but been really, really cool to see what he's been able to do for his first three career games. 800-636-1067, though. Talking about the Commanders and yesterday's performance, how encouraged were you by that first half versus how discouraged were you by that second half? Let's get out to Rod in Landover. Rod, what's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man.
Okay, so look, last night game, man, just reminds me of previous years. You know, one thing that was different about this team last year, Jaden Daniels' rookie year, was that they was doing something that I haven't seen this team do in years. They wasn't beating themselves. You know, a lot of close games, we won a lot of close games because we wasn't beating ourselves. You know, this year, we not only are we beating ourselves a lot of times, it feels like a lot of times we out-coached as well. So you know, last year just had a different feel. It feels like, you know, going into a lot of them games, it felt like, you know, we wasn't out-coached most of the time. It felt like we didn't beat ourselves. Even though our defense wasn't that great, the offense was always somehow able to overcome it if we had the ball last. We were just finding a way to win. Seems like this year we're finding ways to lose. But, you know, just like it's always been around here. I mean, drop passes, fumbles, flags. I mean, you name it. Everything that bad teams do, we're doing. You know, so it's kind of just like a reminder of the previous year. So when I look at last night is a prime example of that. I mean, we hung in there for two quarters, but football is a 60-minute game. It's four quarters.
Yeah.
So Kansas City wasn't tripping. They this is a championship team. They figure, okay, we kept them in it the first half, but now it's another half. And then in that second half, we didn't even score. You know, so to me, that game was just I'm gonna say this. I almost want to give a shout out to Kansas City for letting us stay in the game long enough. I said to myself, if we was getting blown out before halftime, I'm gonna turn the TV off. But they because the game was so close at halftime, they made me believe that they had a chance until Kansas City got the opening kick, took it for a touchdown. The next thing you know, we was three and out, and we had to punt.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just and to talk about Bill, I don't think it's nothing wrong with Bill. I think the blocking is terrible. I mean, every time he get the ball, the defense is right there. There's no holes to run through. The team is just bad. The defense is bad. The offense is bad. And when you look at these good teams around the league, man, whether it be the Eagles, even Dallas from time to time, I mean, one thing these good teams got, they have elite players on both sides of the ball. Elite players. I'm not talking about okay players. I'm talking about elite. We have no elite players on either side of the ball. Yeah, we can say Jaden Daniels, you know, to a certain degree, but outside of that, we don't have elite players on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball. When you look at Detroit, elite players. When you look at Philly, elite players. When you look at Dallas, elite players on the offensive side of the ball.
Not on the defensive
Green Bay,
side.
Right, Green Bay, elite players. Even Atlanta got elite players with that running back they got. I mean, Tampa Bay, elite players with Mike Evans when he's healthy.
Appreciate the phone call, Rod. Yeah, I think he brings up some good points in terms of one thing that this team did a good job of last year that they're not doing this year is they didn't beat themselves. And you look at the way that they were able to go about their possessions and they weren't going to go backwards. There weren't going to be penalties. There weren't going to be turnovers. They were going to be able to take care of the football. They were going to be efficient with the play calling, efficient with what they were able to do on the offensive side. This year, that's not necessarily the case. And they just make dumb mistakes too often. I mean, you look at yesterday, and I was watching the game with and people around here yesterday getting ready for the postgame show, and Quan Martin just makes a bad play on Noah Gray, and whether you agree with that call or not, you got to understand that that ball is dropped. It's the first possession of the second half, would have set up a third and five, could potentially change the momentum there. You know, I'm not necessarily mad at Lattimore for not being able to get on the fumble. That would have been a difficult one to get on, even though it was right at his feet. It was a weird position for him to just drop right down. But opportunities are there, and you've got to take advantage. And they took advantage in the first half. The offense wasn't able to capitalize. And I think that's part of the issue, too, is the defense had its best first half against a good football team all year, and the offense wasn't able to return the favor by executing to pick up the fourth downs, not turning the football over, those sorts of things. And then in the second half, the defense went back to more like what we've seen, and the offense was still out of sync. There's no games where all three phases seem to be in lockstep. Something's missing, it feels like, every single game. And you're getting to a point now where if you show up against Seattle and the offense isn't clicking or the defense isn't clicking, you're going to get blown out. You're going to lose. And that's going to probably end your season. 800-636-1067. Manny is in Southeast. Manny, what's going on?
Hey. How y'all doing, man, tonight, man?
Doing great.
This last caller, I want to disagree with him because I don't think we got a bad team. I just think when he said that the coaching, we're being out-coached, play calls and things of that nature. Plus, don't forget, we lost 85% of our team. Terry, Jaden, Debo. Come on. It's like you said, it's no consistency in the play calling. First half of last game, we playing man. Second half, we go back to I call it the Joe Witt zone. And we get blowed out.
Is the Joe Witt zone the one where there's busts everywhere?
Busts everywhere. Think about it. Who gives Pat Mahomes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds to throw the ball, let alone, you know, he's going to throw. It didn't matter if it was the beer person that was, you know, throwing $16 beers. He was going to get a reception because that's Patrick Mahomes. When we brought the pressure, when we were sending pressure, he was all over the place. Man to man, we looked good last night. Lattimore looked good last night. But no sooner as they put him back in that zone, no sooner as they start putting him back in that zone, come on, man. It's Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think the bigger issue,
Manny, appreciate the phone call. It's so tough to cover Mahomes and that offense. I'm not trying to give them an excuse. You've got to find a way. Clearly, whatever they were doing in the first half was working, but you've got to find a way to get a pass rush. You have to. And the difficult part about Mahomes is if you're going to play man and you don't get a pass rush, then he'll just take off and run. He'll find a lane and take off and run because everybody's backs is to you because they're covering a man. If you're going to play zone, he's going to try to buy some time, and then he'll find a guy with a void in the zone because you're trying to have dudes in zone coverage cover for 6, 7 seconds. Can't have that. So it's a difficult spot to be, and to me, that's the issue here. Is I know a lot of people look at what you've gotten from the guys in the interior and are happy with it, and I don't think that Payne has played poorly. I think Kinlaw's been fine. You saw Johnny Newton show up a little bit. But there's no one on the edge. And they didn't have anybody on the edge when they started the year. Dietrich Wise, throughout his entire career, has been a solid football player. He's not an exceptional football player. That was one of your starting defensive ends. Dorrance Armstrong was having a career year to start this season. He was having one of, if not his best season as a professional this year. And he was taking a step forward. So maybe you could say he gets into the tier of being a above average to good pass rusher and defensive end. But it's not as if Dorrance Armstrong is on the level of guys where you're circling them, highlighting them, saying we can't let this guy get after our quarterback. They don't have those guys on the edge. But you're paying a couple of guys in the middle. that are supposed to be those kinds of guys. Daron Payne, I like what he's done. You've got to be impactful down in, down out. I don't want to see flashes every, you know, 2 to 3 times every game. I need to see you impacting it like I see greats in the interior do all the time. I'm paying you like a Dexter Lawrence. I need you to have that sort of an impact. Javon Kinlaw, I get that he's not paid to be Aaron Donald, but I need you to be impactful all the time. Not to say that he's been bad, but I'm not mad at the edge rushers for not getting pressure when the edge rushers, I didn't like the edge core going in with Adam Peters and what he had done this offseason. I just didn't. So I'm not surprised that they're not getting a pass rush with the edge rushing group that they had. I could have told you that wasn't going to get you pressure, but I need the interior guys to step up and make plays. You drafted Johnny Newton in the top 40. So you've got to get more out of those guys. You've got to get a pass rush from the interior from those guys. And I want to talk about Luvu next because Luvu's interesting. I'd have to go back and fully watch exactly where he lined up all game. I didn't get a chance to check that out. But they lined him up at edge a little bit more. And I know some people love that idea. And I do think that he has some of those skills. I don't think he's an edge rusher. I also don't think he's a linebacker. He's a hybrid. You have to use him as such. If you put him at one or the other, he's going to disappoint. You've got to use him in a variety of different ways. And I think just putting him at edge rusher, while it might fit more with what the current personnel has because of the injuries, I don't know that you're going to get as much out of Frankie Luvu as a lot of people think. 800-636-1067, recapping last night's loss, taking you up until 8:15 in Caps Hockey here on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan, Toby Altizer with you for about another half hour or so, and then we'll turn it over to Capitals Hockey here on The Fan. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in, reacting to yesterday's loss in Kansas City for the Commanders. Let's get out to Antoine in Upper Marlboro. Antoine, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, you know, sometimes a good player, like great players, can hide a bad scheme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, well, I'm not going to say a bad scheme, but a good scheme. If you got great players, they could bring out the scheme. If you have a great scheme, it'll make the players better. You know, it just seems like the players, and even though last year we had a great run, we had an identity. But they don't have an identity this year. You know, we got to get back to, you know, having good wide receivers that's making plays. You know, the defense was making plays last year. Just got to get back to that, man.
100%. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think you've got to see guys step up and make plays. I mean, that's another thing, too, is sometimes we can spend all day breaking some of this stuff down and talking about all these different things. Sometimes the recipe, as dumb as it is, play better. Have your players step up and make plays. Like, as simple as that sounds, sometimes that is the ultimate fix for these things. And right now, you need a lot of guys to step up and play better. And they're not making plays. Like, seeing some of the guys step up and make plays in the first half yesterday warmed my heart. Seeing guys like Marshawn Lattimore step up and make the play that he did is great. I need to see that more often. I need to see guys on offense step up and make some plays. Like, credit to Terry, making the plays that he did when he had an opportunity to make plays. You need the dudes to step up. The guys that are getting the big money can't make mistakes like you had Debo make, and they need to make plays. And you need to see more of it. Like, as much as I like what Terry was able to do, I need to see more of Terry. I need to see more of Debo Samuel. I need those guys to step up. Frankie Luvu, I think it's interesting. We mentioned this in the last segment. I think he's at his best when he's used in that hybrid role. I think if you lined him up as an edge rusher on every snap, I think you'd be underwhelmed. And I think if you line him up at linebacker every snap, I think you'd be underwhelmed. I think you've got to use him in that hybrid role. I think that's what he's best at. I think he struggles in pass coverage. I think he's really good when he's getting downhill at the off-ball linebacker position. I think he's someone that can play the run well. He's incredibly physical. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there. I think he's a good pass rusher in terms of being able to create those mismatches and get a little speed going and pull off a move on a guard or someone into the interior and get after the quarterback, you know, work some games and stunts and different things with the guys up front. I think that's where he excels at the linebacker position on the edge. I think he's got some speed and he can do a little bit there, but I think he's going to get beaten up by most tackles in the NFL. I don't think he's got the bag of tricks like some of these top end edge rushers to be able to get around and still get after the quarterback. And so if you want to take Luvu out of the role that he's generally been used as like a chess piece kind of guy, then feel free, but don't be surprised if you don't hear Frankie Luvu being super impactful the rest of the season if you're going to play him a full-time edge. Yesterday, out of the snaps that he played, I have him at 59 snaps, according to NFL Pro. Nicky Jatvala said he played 48 on the defensive line against the Chiefs yesterday, most in his career. Tied for the most in his career. Last time he played that much on the line was week 16 of his rookie season. So quite a long time ago. To me, if you want to play him there, that's fine, but I think you're taking away a versatile chess piece. To me, you've got to find somebody else that can do that. And he'll play there from time to time, and you'll use him there, and situationally you can. I don't think that you can line him up at edge rusher the rest of the year and expect to still get the Frankie Luvu production that you want to get. That said, I think the defense had one of their better games yesterday in the first half, and he was playing on the defensive line. So, what do I know? We'll wrap things up next. Caps hockey coming up at 8:30, puck drop for them in Dallas. 8:15 pregame. We'll have that for you right here on The Fan. We'll wrap up everything on overtime next here on The Fan. Final couple minutes of overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 8:15. Then we'll turn it over to Caps pregame. Caps getting set to take on the Stars tonight down in Dallas. So wrapping up, I want to take a look at the upcoming schedule for Washington. And 8% chance is what the numbers say for this team to make the playoffs. 8% chance. It's not over yet, but I have to see a much better effort offensively, when you get Jaden back in the lineup, and defensively, I need to see what you showed in the first half. And if you can do that, you've still got a chance against all these teams on your schedule. You've got Seattle at home, Sunday Night Football, which, by the way, fired up for that matchup. Obviously want to see Washington come away with a win. Uniform matchup is going to be sick. Super Bowl era uniforms are getting debuted for Washington. For a lot of people, it's going to look like the team that they grew up rooting for. The only difference really is going to be, I think there's two on the helmet. I think they're going with I believe it's still a matte finish on the helmet, whereas it was a glossy finish before. And instead of the Redskin logo on the side, you're going to have now the W on the side. Those will be basically the only differences. The jerseys are going to look the same. Pants are going to look the same. Socks going to look the same. So that'll be refreshing to see that. Seattle, in turn, has agreed to make it a beautiful visual by wearing the royal blue Steve Largent era throwbacks. So that's going to be beautiful to see as well.
That means none of that ugly neon yellow highlighter color that they use, right? Because, ugh.
I mean, there's still going to be some of that bright green that was a part of that, but it's going to be primarily royal blue and silver. So it's going to be nice. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful jersey uniform match, if you care about that stuff. So I'm excited about that because I'm a big jersey guy. But you look at that game, Detroit coming up after that, you almost got to win both of those games, especially both being NFC opponents. You've almost got to go 3-0 through this stretch here to give yourself a chance, and then you have at least a little bit of wiggle room potentially against, you know, the Broncos. It's just a tough stretch, but you've got to come out and play better. You've got to come out with that intensity that you saw, that desperation that you saw in the first half yesterday. Where has that been? That's the frustrating part, is this team preaches anybody, anywhere, anytime, or whatever the slogan is. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. I need to see that kind of intensity. It feels like this team almost got to a point where they felt like they were good after last season, and we've seen this with other teams. I feel like the Lions have this to an extent, but now they've kind of outgrown it a little bit, and they're better in terms of what they're able to do when they're expected to be a really, really good football team. Some teams are better when you put them up against the wall and they're supposed to be the team that's kind of the underdog and has to fight their way through. I think Washington might be in that sort of realm because you saw an intensity brought to almost every football game last year that I haven't seen matched in a majority of the games this season. And you saw it in the first half with the way that people were flying around to the football. Defensively, they were getting after guys. Offensively, there was a level of execution that you saw in the first half. They weren't able to do it once they crossed midfield, but you were able to move the football. Marcus Mariota only had 3 incompletions at the half, one of those being the ball that went right off Debo's face mask for an interception. But they have to come out with that level of desperation every week from here on out. Because to me, the rest of the year, like if they were looking at yesterday as do or die, must win kind of territory, well, the rest of the year for sure is that. Because now you're 3-5. And the way that you started the year, you're almost thinking you've got to at least get to 11-6 to feel good. Now, you know, I know a lot of people are citing the NFC record, and that definitely is something. But you look at the teams left, you've still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 NFC games, 4 of those in the division. So you can still put some hay in the barn against the NFC, but you cannot keep losing games that you give yourself an opportunity in. And what's frustrating about this game is I don't know that the results are different if you're able to take advantage of some of the opportunities in that first half, but I sure would have liked to have known. I sure would have liked to have seen if it could have made a difference. Because if you look at in that first half, getting the multiple turnovers and then not turning those into points, going into the half tied 7-7 is a terrible result. And I like what I saw offensively. I like the aggressiveness on the fourth downs, especially when you've got a kicker that has already been released and was basically with the team for, I mean, he might not have even introduced himself to anybody on the team aside from Tressway and Tyler Ott. I mean, he might have literally gotten changed and then left, and he didn't hop on the team plane because I don't think he was coming back here. So I don't know exactly what that was with Matthew Wright, and I'm not sure exactly what popped up with Matt Gay. But you weren't kicking all night, especially anything fringe. Even the PAT that he knocked through was a little closer than you'd like. So you weren't kicking, but you already knew that you needed to score points. So I liked the approach, but you've got to execute. You've got to take advantage of the opportunities, and you knew as soon as you weren't able to put more points on the board after those mistakes by Kansas City in the first half that it wasn't going to go well. And to me, it felt like they played with a level of urgency and desperation that Kansas City wasn't playing with in the first half. The problem is, when you play like that and you kind of wake them up, the second half they realize, ooh, we got to turn it on. We got to flip the switch. Kansas City flipped the switch, and when you're already working at a 7-7 score and you're not working at 17-7 or 14-7 or something like that where you've at least got a little bit of a lead, well, then you get blown out. I'm not saying this season's over. I think it's a little premature, but at the same point, if they lose on Sunday to Seattle, you might as well pack it up. And I think that's going to be the interesting discussion as we go forward. What do they do with the trade deadline? What kind of moves do you have to make? Do you need to just start seeing some of these young guys? There's a little bit of an apprehension to play some of the guys, and yet Luke McCaffrey's gotten more opportunity this year, and I wouldn't say he's been spectacular, made a spectacular catch yesterday, but he stepped up, made some plays. They're giving Jalen Lane opportunities. They're giving Trey Amos opportunities. He's been really, really good. So I think at some point, you just got to see what these young guys give you. And some of the speed that you were able to see on the field yesterday defensively, I think made a difference. That's going to do it for us here on Overtime. Appreciate you listening in. Appreciate Metal Chris coming in, doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Capitals hockey comes up next. are taking on the Stars in Dallas, hoping for a bounce-back win. Caps and Stars next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.